Hey, everyone. My two superstar coaching clients are back, Alan Lazaros and Kevin Palmieri. And we always do the rapid fire as they join me on office hours for another incredible coaching call, which is filled with value. And I wanted to share it with everyone today. We're going to talk about understanding your emotions and the energy in motion, as well as practices to strengthen your intuition. Don't forget to join me every Friday for free at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern time for our free training. Text me at 949-298-2905 and email me at david@dmeltzer.com to register. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook. All right. I know you guys are prepared, so let's make it happen.
So I asked this question recently on a podcast interview that we did. In your opinion, from your perspective, what has to happen in order for the collective consciousness of society to expand, to grow, all of that? Like, what needs to happen? What are the steps for people to take in order to expand their own level of consciousness?
Well, if you look at the conscious continuum, which includes the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious, a quantum memory, I believe, and this is just my belief, that the collective has the same exact continuum. So the collective consciousness has its daily activities. It has COVID and the racial unrest and all the things that we have, but it also has the subconscious. So it has its historical thoughts, the collective does. So in its own human nature, it has this subconscious with, you know, instead of, let's just say there's 10,000 thoughts in the human conscious every day, new thoughts, 40,000 of the same one in the subconscious. And then the quantum memory is ancestral, at least four generations. I think it's lifetimes. Well, think about the collective in the same belief. So how do we impact that? I believe it's all math, right? So if you aggregate, and it's so hard because of infinity to aggregate thoughts, but what if you took all 8 billion people, aggregate the 10,000 thoughts, and that became a collective consciousness, and the math was done from some supercomputer of the impact that it was having on now 40,000 thoughts times 8 billion, and how many times each of those thoughts are accessed, which creates neural pathways in a collective conscious, right? In a collective subconscious, then that goes to every memory, every quantum memory that ever existed that exists in infinity, right? When I talk about more than enough of everything and everyone, that we have the ability to access anything at any time, that when people say past, present, and future are one, all of this exists in this continuum. That's to me the collective consciousness as a whole. And so for me, if I can change 1 billion people in their conscious level to be happy, right? 1 billion, what impact would that have of the collective 8 billion consciousness? Then if I continue it, what impact would it have on that billions of subconscious access that's occurring? And can it actually create a new frequency of a quantum memory of the universe and create a different frequency or access a different frequency? So I parallel it because it allows me to have some context of how important it is as an individual to impact and empower other people, to impact and empower other people, to get the math with people like John Gucci there, that we can go ahead and change a collective belief of happiness, which is a higher source or vibration or light awareness that eventually can change the world.
Mm. So we've got a couple whiteboards here. I've got this full whiteboard. He's got his right behind the timer here in the new studio. So one thing I wanted to ask you was, I believe that when we raise our current awareness, a lot of times what we do is we reflect on our past from that higher sense of awareness. Even those memories you had as a kid, and now I have certain memories that I'll go back to, and now with my higher sense of awareness, I can understand that a bit, that at a deeper level. And one of the examples I use is when I learned the five love languages from Gary Chapman's book, all of a sudden I went back to my past relationships and went, oh, okay, now I understand that and why that did or didn't work. From your sense of awareness, I think that some people avoid the past, and I don't know if they fully understand that that's there so that you can invest that new lessons into the future. So what's your take on when your awareness raises, and you go back through your past from a higher sense of awareness to relearn lessons from that higher sense of awareness. What's your take on that whole thing?
Absolutely. Well, when we raise our awareness, we're clearing the interference and corrosion between the source of all, infinity, the greatest source of power, light, and love, and lessons that exist, including lessons that we've learned in the past and experiences that we've had in that continuum of time, which is also infinity. So for me, you know, I'll give you a classic example of what you're talking about. When I finally reconciled my relationship with my father, when I saw that jacket in the closet and realized, wow, my dad really knew a lot more than I thought. It's me that I hate, not my father. It's the things I hate about myself. My dad has already learned these lessons. I haven't learned about scarcity and manipulation and overselling, back end selling, lying and cheating. He had already learned and was warning me years previous by giving me a birthday present, a jacket, to tell me I couldn't be the richest man in the cemetery. That money didn't buy love. Well, when I reconciled all of that, I went to bed and I had never seen my dad cry. And so I was processing all this new relationship with my father. And I'm like, you know what? I've always been connected to my emotions. I'm an easy crier, obviously. If anyone's watched any of my videos, I can barely talk about my mom without tearing up or tell these stories without my emotions coming out. I went to bed and I accessed through that awareness, because I cleared the interference between that light, love, and lessons. I cleared it. When I left at 9 years old, Akron, Ohio, back then when you went to the airport, there was hardly any security. Your parents would walk you to the gate. It was a completely different scene. But out of all these years now, here I was almost 40 years old, 31 years previous, never saw my dad cry. And I remembered looking back, getting on the airplane with my siblings to go move to California and seeing my dad cry. He was crying. I still get choked up. Right? I cry easy, but that's an exact example of what you guys are talking about. I had never even remembered, thought of, et cetera, but here now I could access something, whether it's past, present, or future. I was accessing that lesson and seeing a whole nother level of my father, because I had cleared my own ego out of the way that I was the liar, the cheater, the manipulator, the back-end seller. I hated my father for all the things I hated about myself. And when I cleared that out of the way, I was able now to connect emotionally to one of an extraordinary moment that changed my relationship, because it had bothered me, my insecurity, that my dad even gave a shit that I moved, that he even didn't care. How could he not cry when I left? All these things that I never even thought of that may have stood in my way from other relationships and other things. And all these little things change our abundance. It changes our faith. And this is exactly what I'm trying to teach you too. And I appreciate you bringing up how awareness can not only change our present by knowing when to buy or sell, but it actually can clear the flow for things that have already happened.
Speaking of crying, I had a rough week and my girlfriend went somewhere and I said, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and like cry it out. Like, I knew I needed that. Why is, and maybe it's not quote unquote important, but like, what does crying do for you? And why are you so open about it? Cause I am too, but like, what is your, not motivation, but it's probably cause you've gotten rid of a lot of the ego and you don't care that people are going to say like, oh, Dave's crying. Like, what does crying do for you? Does it cleanse you? Does it connect you? Like, what does it do?
I think it is the transcoding that I'm connected to this great source, right? And, you know, through my meditations and all the practices that I have, I get overwhelmed, right? My actual physical being can't handle the great joy or the feeling that I have. It's so immense. And if any of you have done any spiritual work, you know, I always joked around when I would go to like a workshop in the Theta Meditation or Quantum Healing, because, you know, I'm old school in football, right? College football, smallest player. We had three a days. So you can imagine, like, you know, 2 weeks into three a days in, you know, smog ridden Los Angeles, how I must have felt physically. Nothing compared to when I'm doing internal energy work. And by the end of the workshop, I wake up the next day and like my entire body is aching and people get sick. And, you know, Tony Robbins, you can go through all that stuff about it. That's exactly why I think emotionally I'm overwhelmed, physically overwhelmed by the amount of energy, light. Remember, you carry, if you didn't believe it, you know, when Gooch was in here, right? Imagine how much power is in that guy. And he's in touch with it, right? This is the end of Friday. I can tell you I average at least 30 planned things a day, 30 unplanned things a day, interviews, speeches, all the stuff that I'm doing. And I'm loaded with energy. That's the same thing when I went back and put myself to, and I saw in my mind's eye, I connected to it. I was overwhelmed with how much love my dad had for me. And then I also had a pain, right? A lesson to learn that now that I'm a father, I couldn't imagine what it'd be like if someone took my children across the country where I couldn't see them every day. And so that's what gets me. And it just, I think it's a great sign if you're in touch with your emotions and you're so in touch that it's just too much for your body to handle. You know, it's like going too fast in a plane, I guess. You're shaking up.
Powerful answer. So you mentioned something that I wanted to touch on, which was a memory that you had. I think that we create these subconscious aversions to pain or trauma in our past. And I don't think I ever fully understood it, but lately I've had certain memories from a higher sense of awareness coming back to me. And I had overwhelming moments of crying. And I guess what I want to understand at a deeper level is how do you know when you have an aversion to not only a memory, but like, okay, so there's this simple thing that I'm sure you've heard. A cat sits on a hot stove and it never sits on a hot stove again. Maybe you even said this, but it'll never sit on a cold stove either because it doesn't understand the difference. It just says stoves equal bad. And I think we do that as humans in our subconscious or unconscious. What is your take on this? And how do we know when we have an aversion? Because recently I had this crying moment that released something in me. And now I can tell physiologically and emotionally that I no longer have an aversion to something I once did, but I didn't proactively choose to like unleash that, but I want to. How do you know when you have an aversion? And then what do you do about it to overcome it?
We can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than us. So a cat does not have the awareness of why a stove hurt it, right? If it had an awareness of the reason why it hurt when it sat on the stove, right? If it raised its awareness to that, and I believe it's a simple basis, and I do believe I told you that story, as we elevate our awareness, things that seem so obvious to us because we have an elevated frequency and elevated vibration, like, no, the stove is only hot when you turn it on, so therefore you can see if it's hot and then sit on it if it's cold, right? The same thing holds true, and I've seen this in my own awareness of business. I know sometimes when to buy or sell, right? I just know. And it's patterns, it's repetitive, consistent behavior that allows us to identify contextually where that awareness is. So you're now coming into higher levels of awareness, and so you're creating patterns to say, okay, you know, if we could get a cat to test, you know, we could teach and train the cat to sit back onto the stove by teaching it hot and cold,
right?
We can raise and elevate the awareness of a cat to do that, just like they have with many different species of animals, the stuff that we can do with them. You're just heightening through a practice, a consistent behavior. And at its context, everyone has a conscious, subconscious, and unconscious mind. What you're talking about is the patterns of consistent behavior. You then can what? Elevate into the subconscious and train the neural pathways to do certain things. Well, when you're raising that awareness, all of a sudden it becomes obvious because you're running it through again and again, and all of a sudden you're seeing the minute little differences, and some of them are subconscious. About four-fifths of those thoughts are subconscious. So the more repetitive you are, right, and the more elevated you are, the more you can access the four-fifths part that you were never consciously aware of and be like, oh yeah, that's why. As simple as hot or cold.
Ooh. So I would be out of alignment if I didn't ask this question. From your perspective, what, and you knowing me, what can I do to be a better leader, especially at a time now where people are looking for leaders, they're looking for the light? I know you guys were talking about that a little bit towards the end. Like, what can I do now? I do want to grow the podcast and be the speaker and do all this in many years, but today, what can I do to be a better leader, a better version of Kevin?
You know, for me, it's that enjoying. So if you can enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of what potential you want to pursue, right? We all have different potentials. And so when you choose and you have your mindset and your heart set towards a what, then the best thing you can do as a leader is to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of that what. And you need to do the five things that I teach, right? You need to take inventory of your values every day and not be afraid to be a hypocrite. You need to ask and attract, series of questions, provide value, series of questions of if anyone knows anyone that can help you. Be a student of your calendar, pay attention to and give intention to the coincidences you want. Do things now, right? Leaders get stuff done. 100% of the things you do now get done. And then finally, most importantly as a leader, and this is what John was talking about earlier, hopefully you guys were there, is you need to practice ending fear. You can be scared, but practice ending fear. Practice being aware of what is creating the corrosion and interference to this unbelievable source of light, love, and lessons that I'm always connected to. And what John has done better than any other guest I've ever had is he's been able to illustrate what I call that appreciation of what we're connected to. Meaning, I know, like, I'm always working on this connection I have. I channel, I meditate, I clean that connection to this powerful source. But John's awareness is so much heightened because of the practice that he had that he's able to appreciate what he has received. Appreciate means gratitude is a key component of his practice. He mentioned it first, right? But also it's adding his value to it. Why? Because he's been able to clear at times the connection between him and everything else where he's so aware that there is no communication. He is the plane. He is the air. He is his squadron. He is one. And I at times have had that feeling, but I'm not flying 120 practice unit flights every day and in simulators and all this. So he's practicing that connectivity much more than I ever have. So he has where I can easily practice through meditation and quantum healing, how I get the source and appreciation. And now through my platform, and this is what I'm training you boys to do, because I'm empowering you to empower others to join John and I for that billion people, is through a platform. What am I doing? Every time I do one of these office hours, every time I do an Instagram live, every time I do the podcast, every time I do the elevator pitch, every time I step on a stage or do a workshop or write a book or whatever else I'm doing, that's my squadron now. Because why? I'm taking everything that I've channeled and I'm connecting myself and clearing all that interference of fear, right? Because that's what interferes. And I sometimes feel at one with hundreds of thousands and even, you know, I just saw we were over 2 million downloads on my podcast. 2 million people connected to, right? It's extraordinary. And that's your airplane. You're the Blue Angels of content. And you can get that feeling. But the only way you do it is to have gratitude and to practice, right? And those are the five steps that I've learned in order to effectuate it by taking inventory of your values. Don't be afraid to be a hypocrite. Ask and attract. Student of your calendar. Do it now. And especially practice ending fear.
So the very first question I have on here is something that I think is very important right now. So you mentioned the, you know, learning zone, comfort zone, anxiety zone. And I think that when something happens in the external world, whether it be in our environment or the collective consciousness, I think it rattles all of our cage. And sometimes it shows us a mirror of things that are not yet worked on, or maybe guilt or shame from the past or whatever it is. So what I've told my clients and what I've told, you know, the podcast listeners and just people in my life is that intuition is a wonderful inner compass. But when you're in fear and anxiety, I don't think you can trust it because it gets blurry. How do we listen to our intuition? And from your perspective, when fear and anxiety is present, how do you wean through the noise of the signal to listen to your own inner compass during those difficult times? Like, you know, not only what's going on collectively right now, but within ourselves.
Right. So there's two currencies, the pragmatic currency, for example, of money, an object of energy that we put into the flow, and then the highest currency of faith, an aggregate of what we think, say, do, and believe, and considering our unconscious competency of our personality traits, characteristics, obsessions, and addictions that have been handed down for lifetimes or at least four generations. So in order to put this all into relativity, I use a blend. And so that blend has to be based upon some pragmatic values that when I am in corrosive behavior, interference, ego-based emotion, the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, all of these different things. I want to practice being a ferocious Buddha, right? Ferocious about stopping while, and trust me, you guys have relationships. You try stopping one time when you're in an argument with your most intimate person in your life, whether it be a kid, your wife, your husband, whatever it is. One time when your blood is boiling and you are in the ego, that's to me the biggest example of ego-based consciousness and the greatest practice I have is when for whatever reason, if I'm hangry or just for whatever reason, it struck that chord of fear, right? I can't use my intuition. So what do? I am ferocious about saying my thermostat of my life is the way that I feel. It used to be my bank account. Right. I used to identify only within my bank account's good. Dave Meltzer's good. I'm great. It's great. Right. Now it's just an ingredient of mercury within the context of my thermostat of how I feel. Well, when I'm in ego-based consciousness, there's no way you feel good. No way you feel good. So what do? I put all my energy in just stopping. Just stopping. And it's a ferocious, I mean, you guys are great athletes. You know, all of the people that have been in here have been in ferocious settings. I'm telling you, there's nothing more ferocious than when you are in ego-based consciousness to stop. And I tell the story about my daughter. I tell the story about my wife, you know, that I've even been talking to myself as I'm losing my mind going, shut up, shut up, don't go there. But I actually am getting, you know, it maybe when I was young, it took me years to get out of ego-based consciousness and stop. Then it went to months and then it went to weeks and then it went to hours, days, and then hours. I'm down to minutes and moments. But even now, when I'm in ego-based consciousness, right, when I lose my gratitude, I lose my forgiveness, I lose my accountability, and I interfere with my inspiration, I literally for minutes sit there going, stop, stop, because every minute I don't stop, I'm moving and accelerating in the wrong way. I'm creating more interference and more corrosion that I'm going to have to clear away later. And so the key to it is to not use your intuition until when? Until you're connected clearly, right? So you got to stop, drop like a Buddha, breathe. Like everybody on here talks about breathing, right? Breathe through your nose, out through your mouth, straighten your spine. Breathe until you get to your highest frequency. If you have a practice that most successful people do of finding their highest frequency in the morning so that they're not living the myth of Sisyphus, that you're, you know, pulling a boulder up the hill all day just to have it roll down at night. No, we plateau and grow. That's what we do. And we find our highest frequency as a baseline to say, hey, I'm not feeling right. My thermostat's off because I'm not feeling that frequency. But instead of going ahead and dropping so far, I just stop, drop, and then I'm ferocious again. The law of Goya, get off your ass and roll into the right trajectory with gratitude, with forgiveness, with accountability, and while you're inspired. Now you can use your intuition because you've elevated back up to your highest frequency where it's a clear connection where the truth is more prevalent.
Powerful. Can I hammer a quick one? When you said don't
$1, be a- it's $1 for extra questions.
That's
today.
Fine. I'll send you.
Marty owes me a buck.
when you say don't be afraid to be a hypocrite, what does that like look like? Like what's an example of that?
Oh God, I love you guys. So you're the best clients ever because literally you ask the questions that nobody asks.
I feel like this is
so important. So a hypocrite is someone that's not afraid to admit they don't know what they don't know. A hypocrite is somebody that's not afraid to say, yes, I'm growing. I'm in the learning zone. A hypocrite is someone to say that, you know what? When I was 21, my values were this. I believe that money buys love and happiness. And I don't believe that today. So anyone that knows me that from my 21-year-old and says, oh, Dave Meltzer's a scarce MFer and I would never want to be his friend, I can say they're right. They're right. That's exactly who I was. But guess what? I'm a hypocrite because I changed. I actually learned from the pain, the mental, physical, spiritual, and financial pains that I went through to say money doesn't buy happiness and love. I live in an abundant world now, one that comes through me. And I'm a hypocrite because I wasn't living in that world. At one time, I lived in a world of not enough and then just enough, buying things I didn't need, impressing people I didn't like. Now I live in a world of more than enough most of the time. And I am a hypocrite because tomorrow my values may change. I'll tell you real fast. One of my values changed just this week studying the incongruencies and inequalities that exist between races. And I could not understand when I first heard it why somebody would be mad if you say all lives matter compared to saying, you know, Black Lives Matter. Well, now I understand. I was wrong. My values were wrong. I get what's going on. You need to prioritize Black Lives Matter right now. All lives always matter. But right now we need to prioritize, and it can be damaging and insulting and offensive and all these things. And I was wrong. I didn't know what I didn't know. Why? Because I'm not Black. Right? No matter how much I want to be, I'm not. And I can't understand what it'd be like. And so it took me a lot of research and a lot of time to ask people, tell me what I'm supposed to do to help people. You're calling on me. You're calling on me to teach people. Tell me exactly why this is different. Why are some people mad at me when I say this? And some people are mad at me when I say this, so I can explain to them why they're mad, and they can decide what to say for themselves to bring us closer together and to raise our vibration and frequency as a collective so that more people are happy. These are opportunities. These are opportunities to come together. These are opportunities to find our higher frequency. These are opportunities to shed the interference and corrosion to the greatest source of light and love and lessons. This is an opportunity to practice ending fear. All of these things are not bad things. And I appreciate you guys bringing it up. So be a hypocrite, you guys. Take inventory of your values. Keep growing and accelerating and changing, because I have so much love for you, and I can't wait to see what you guys are going to do in the future.
Nothing but love for you, Dave. We appreciate you so, so very much.
Thank you so much, Dave. So good to see you again.
All right, man. You guys are awesome. Thank you, everyone. Hey, podcast listeners. Thank you for listening, as always, to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.